You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Thursday edition. There's been a story in the news. It's been developing and developing that normally I wouldn't even cover. And that's the situation in Virginia in terms of the governor, the lieutenant governor, and now the attorney general. But it's disturbing, but not for the reasons you think. If you listen to the news, whether it's radio or television in the story, it's all about whether or not at some point in your life you put cosmetics or shoe polish so you could appear to have a black face. And because you did this, usually in high school, college, years ago, not recently, but years ago, decades ago, that's the reason you should resign your governorship, your lieutenant government, or your attorney general. And I keep scratching my head because, as many people are now pointing out, for decades, especially in the entertainment industry, people have been doing that. And there's a long, long list of people that have been doing that. Now, it may not be acceptable today. I certainly never would have done it. Not because I was concerned of whether or not I would offend someone, because I've learned a long time, you have people that are easily offended. Most people do not go out of their way to offend people. But no matter what you do, there's someone will be offended. I don't live my life that way, and most people don't. And yes, have people made mistakes, especially when they're young? Well, that's part of being young. You learn from your mistakes, you learn from your failures, and you move on. But you would think, listening to both the commentary and the newscast, that at least two high officials, the governor and the attorney general, should resign. Even though, and I'm not taking any sides here, I'm not jumping to any conclusions, other than it was the people of Virginia that elected these people. And I think it's up to the people of Virginia to unelect them at the next election, or if they think what they've done is horrendous, impeach them and convict them, whatever the procedure is. But now we have the politically correct, the morally righteous, demanding that these people resign. Now, I think it's up to those public officials to make up their own mind as to what to do. They know what they've done or not done. The governor says, after looking at the photograph, it's not him. It's up to Virginia, the people of Virginia that elected him, to either accept it or not. I'm not demanding anyone resign, but pressure is being brought, and the focus is on what? And this is the point I'm going to make. Blackface? Why did the Virginia governor come to the attention of the American people? He was on a radio show, and I played that clip. I'm not going to play it again. But it stunned many people outside of Virginia, because the example being used was that a baby is born out of the womb, born, and this is an important point here. And then this gentleman, governor, is a doctor, MD, and he says he's familiar with this situation. And what would happen is the doctor and the mother would have a conversation. They would make the baby comfortable. And then the mother, together with the doctor, would decide whether the baby should be killed or not. I don't think it's the decision of either the mother or the doctor to make that decision. If it's any grounds for an impeachment, it's that. We're more concerned by appearances, blackface, than we are about killing of babies either in or out of the womb. And here's the irony, and it is really the irony. It's hard to get precise statistics, but they're out there. Exactly how many abortions have been performed since 1973. But the overwhelming majority of those abortions were black babies and Hispanic babies, babies of color, however you want to describe them, disproportionately more, several times the percentages in terms of the general population. Somewhere between 15 million and 20 million abortions have been performed since 1973. And good news is the number of abortions actually are going down. Now, if you listen to the show, you know I'm very much pro-life. But I don't think any woman or human being has the right to kill, murder another human being, and then claim I'm doing it because it affects my health when it doesn't. Oh, this is a very controversial subject. You better believe it is. And I seldom cover it on this show. But I've listened for the last week as I call them big lie media, the national television networks and the newspapers have not focused on the original reason the governor was in the news, instead focusing on, did the governor use blackface when he was in college? I thought we should be talking about what the governor said and what is the situation in Virginia. Are doctors and mothers routinely killing their babies after they've been born? I don't know. They shouldn't be, but apparently it's going on. Yes, it's a slippery slope. And remember, I'm talking about right now, the baby was born, delivered. How long are we going to have a conversation? Who is going to be on that conversation as to whether or not the baby should be killed? And how is the baby to be killed? They're not covering it. Now, it's not everybody. Many in talk radio, because they're conservative and pro-life, have been talking about it. And they should be. And the president talked about it in the State of the Union address. And the Democrats had a cow. He shouldn't have brought it up. I think he should have brought it up. If you look at the statistics on abortions, most of them are done in the first 12 weeks. And when I say most, I'm saying 90%. The overwhelming majority of the American people do not favor late-term or third trimester abortions. Those are the ones that favor abortions. But that's what we're talking about here. At the very moment of delivery of the baby, the woman could say, I changed my mind, kill it. Oh, it would be rare. But today, abortions aren't rare. And the irony is, where did this movement come from? And it's really coming back. Oh, it was part of the progressive movement, but it also was part of the eugenics movement. It's not new to the United States. Many states were sterilizing people, and it is fundamentally racist what I'm talking about. They make a decision as to who is the fit and who is the unfit, and you have what's called positive eugenics and negative eugenics. You encourage the fit to propagate or multiply, in other words, have more children, and you discourage and try to really eliminate the unfit. Eliminate means kill, by the way. And you run into a problem because that's simply not generally acceptable even today in the United States. Margaret Sanger was the founder of what ultimately became Planned Parenthood, and they their leader provider of abortions in the United States. They deliberately targeted, and they still do, blacks. And they try to get black politicians, ministers, supporting Planned Parenthood. Barack Obama is an excellent example of exactly what they wanted. And today, the majority of those abortions are black babies and Hispanic babies. Oh yes, there are whites, but I'm talking 50 to 60% are blacks. They have been more successful than the Ku Klux Klan could ever be. They're literally killing blacks by the millions. And the irony is the black community goes out election after election and votes both black and white Democrats who are behind this. When will they wake up? I hope they wake up soon. Now, there's some blacks that understand what's going on, but they're unfortunately too few, and they need to be speaking out a lot stronger. And that's why you see in Virginia more focus on blackface than you do what the governor really said. That is very much extreme. It's infanticide. It's killing living young babies that should have civil rights and should be protected and are not. We argue, should the governor resign over maybe he was in the picture? Most Americans don't care whether the governor or the attorney general were using blackface. And yes, it would offend many blacks today. I'd be the first to say that. You can't judge people by today's standards when there were different standards many years ago. And that doesn't make it right or acceptable. But killing people is a lot more serious than offending people. And what we're doing is killing babies, not only out of the womb, but in the womb. And I've said on previous shows, and it might surprise many of you, if you look at the nations of Europe, oh yes, they have abortion laws, but most of them restricted to the first trimester or 12 weeks. And that's where most of the abortions, even in the United States, are performed. Today, unfortunately, in the United States, abortions are being used as a method of contraceptives. Oh, the baby is alive and kicking and developing. In ultrasound, you see it. That's why I recommended you watch The Silent Scream. And many mothers, if they're thinking about this, should go to their doctor and have an ultrasound and see what I'm talking about. There are alternatives. The obvious one is give the baby up to adoption if you feel that's the best alternative. Instead, we have thousands of people every day, every week, that kill their baby. We have few marchers. We do have a few people that will march outside a doctor's office. I've seen them in Dallas, but it continues and will continue. Oh, yes, I'm for restricting the period you can have abortion. I'm pro-life, not pro-choice. I don't think anyone has the choice or should have the choice of legally killing another human being, no matter what stage of development they're in. And there are many people on the other side now taking it beyond even birth. What's next? Oh, you might have a couple of years, and if it just doesn't work out, kill the baby, kill the infant, kill the toddler. That's where it goes. Oh, it's a more than a slippery slope. And you have a party, the Democratic Party, and I'm not a Democrat or Republican, that's advocating this. Let them, because I think the American people will reject them. Not all, but the majority. You see, that's why they don't want to focus in on the reason the governor for Virginia recently elected what he said. Instead, many are calling for his resignation. And then we learn that the lieutenant governor is being accused of sexual assault. So what are they doing now? They're going after the woman. The Democrats, who say you should always believe the woman. I don't jump to that conclusion. Oh, it's a scandal. It's a mess. It's being played out now, and you will hear it for at least a couple more days, weeks. Who knows how it's going to end? The hypocrisy, the lying, the misleading goes on and on and on. The Democratic Party has a problem. They have moved so far to the left that they're beyond the majority of their base, moderate to slightly left. Any party that does that is just asking to, in future elections, lose. I'll keep you posted if we have any developments here. I would like to focus on, though, the fact that every day, routinely, every week, 1,000 or more babies are being aborted, killed. Oh, yes, many of them are in the first 12 weeks. But now more are not in the first 12 weeks. They're in the second and third trimester. And some politicians of the Democratic Party would take it up to point of delivery and beyond. In other words, the baby is delivered. There should be a pushback, outrage at this. And I think the Democratic Party knows that this is unacceptable. You see, Hitler was an admirer of the American eugenics movement, as well as the British eugenics movement. And he started with children too, living children. We're not talking abortion here. But even his own supporters, even the German people, said this is not acceptable, and you needed three German doctors, not one. Did that stop him? No, he kept on doing it, and we know where it led to. That's why after World War II, the eugenics movement petered out. No, it didn't. It just changed the name of what they were trying to do. Today, it's called population control. We have too many people. We have to control the population, and yes, where are they focusing? Are you surprised? Africa. Oh, you have Africans pushing back. It's better PR. It needs to be discussed, aired, facts presented. But this is a subject that most people simply don't want to talk about, mainly because it's difficult to have anyone really change their mind. And when you take a stand either way, you're going to offend a lot of people. It's not good for ratings. It's not good for advertising, no matter what side you take. But we need to tell the truth, as hard as that truth is, as disturbing as that truth is. And yes, there are consequences. In New York City, I'm reading that more babies are aborted than black babies are aborted than actually are born. I find that statistic amazing and disturbing. But that didn't stop the New York State legislature from passing a bill that the governor signed. Oh, they were afraid that if President Trump nominated one or more Supreme Court justices, that at some future date, Roe versus Wade would go by the boards and would have another decision. Now, I'm not going to get into whether Roe versus Wade was well decided or not. The lawyers will debate that. One would hope, though, that the American people express their views on this. Think about it. Did we have a vote, a national vote on this? No. Did we have a state vote on this? Not really. And that's part of the problem. And yes, big lie media, television networks, and the entertainment industry has changed public opinion. I'm not surprised. Propaganda works. That's why you hear it every day. It works. It works because of repetition, bias, and distractions. And we are being distracted big time over whether or not the governor or the attorney general at any time wore blackface. And if he did, off with his head. No, not really. He should resign. Well, he was elected governor. Who are you to say he should resign? Does this rise to a situation where people would resign? No, I don't think so. Especially when he's denied, my understanding, he's denied that's him in the photograph. It's someone else, which tells me, let's assume he's right, that this is a, let us say, opposition hit piece, smear campaign. Is it the Republicans or is it the Democrats? Is it the lieutenant governor that now has a serious sexual assault charge out there? The American people, the voters of each state, in this case Virginia, are going to have to make up their mind and express their views. And I leave it up to those elected representatives who know what they did or didn't do, whether or not they think it's appropriate for them to resign or not. Now, when you're falsely charged, you shouldn't resign. You need to fight. Conversely, if you are guilty is sin, you should resign, but many of those people won't because they know if they do, they're admitting it, even though they know they did it. Who do you believe? He said, she said. So continue to listen. The story amazes me and continually, it's on the radio today. I think going on a week, but they're focusing on the wrong thing. Not babies either in or out of the womb, not their rights, but whether or not an individual, usually many years ago, wore blackface. I consider this to be morally bankrupt. You seem to be missing the more important issue, life and death, and killing the innocent. Call it politics as usual. Now, I wasn't paying much attention this morning. I've been under the weather, and because of that, I'm trying to catch up on my sleep. When you don't feel well, that's what you should be doing. But I was hearing about the so-called Green New Deal. Well, it's not a Green New Deal. It's really the Red New Deal. I deliberately think it's more appropriate to use the color red because I think the Reds are the radical extreme Democrats, and that's where this is coming from. What they generally advocate, I label Santa Claus socialism. Vote for me, and I'll give you some free fill-in-the-blank stuff. A college education, a guaranteed income, social justice, whatever that is, fairness. Wealth. There's no such thing as a free lunch or a free anything. You got to work for it. But they held a press conference. I'm going to play the press conference. I don't want to misquote them at all. And yes, it's that, and I've deliberately ignored this person because, frankly, she doesn't make much sense. I'm trying to be as polite as I can here. I really don't think she's thought through what she comes up with. Yep, that representative from New York, a Democrat, getting a lot of publicity on the talk shows. I don't watch TV, so I haven't seen her. But she did have a press conference, and yeah, there were other Democrats there. And yes, it was about climate change. What ceases to amaze me is anyone that's looked at the history of this, climate has always been changing. Even before man was on the planet, climate was changing. Man has a very, very, very small impact on the climate. If you don't believe me, walk outside and look up at the sun. The day the sun's not there, life on the planet Earth will soon cease. There are many, many determinants, drivers, causes, if you will, of climate change. It's a very complicated subject, but it's been politicized. You see, I have always believed that climate changes. I'm not a denier. As a matter of fact, the term climate denier almost doesn't make any sense because no one denies that there's climate, and few deny that it hasn't been changing. It's been changing in terms of geologic time for over 5.5 billion years. And we only been around maybe 300,000. At one time, the planet Earth was an ice ball, and then things changed. But let's listen to the Congresswoman, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I won't be playing in the future many of her clips. And the reason is, I don't think she really understands what she's talking about, and certainly doesn't understand the consequences of what she's proposing. But she likes the attention, and the big lie media will build her up. That she's in the build-up stage, and then they'll tear her down. Let's listen.
I think that today is not just a big day for us as a delegation, us as a party, us as a movement, but this is a big day for activists all over the country and for frontline communities all over the country. Today is a big day for people who have been left behind. Today is a big day for workers in Appalachia. Today is a big day for children that have been breathing dirty air in the South Bronx. Today is a really good day for families who have been enduring the injustices of drinking dirty water or who have seen their living rooms being flooded in with the waves of rising sea level.
I can't take this person seriously. Really? Can you give me one example, 10 examples of this happening? If you can't, she's spouting propaganda lines. She's making it up. Now, that never stops them. Lying is one of the common denominators of many of these politicians. And some of them even start believing their own lies. They're oblivious to it. And if you ask them to start explaining it, they can't. Oh, yes, there are climate models that have been predicting rises of temperature in the sea. The problem is, if you look at the data, it's not happening, but you never hear that. You see, what you have is a group of socialists, progressives, communists that have seen the failure of the Soviet Union, for example, and socialism, wherever it's tried, including Venezuela, fail. So they need to change the subject. And the boogeyman is climate, and that man is responsible for climate change. Oh, yes, I will agree to this extent, to a tiny bit. Man does contribute to it, but there's overwhelming forces that totally swamp this. And if we truly understood climate change, the models should predict correctly what's happening. They're not. They're failing. And usually when models fail, it tells you you're overlooking things. You don't know really what's going on. These models don't predict precipitation, rainfall, cloud formation. They don't really understand it. All are important in influencing climate. It's probably one of the most complex problems in science. Now, there are many more, but none of these politicians really have a clue. They're just spouting a propaganda or it's rhetoric, folks. Ask them to truly explain this, forget it. Let's continue.
And today, I think, is a really big day for our economy, the labor movement, the social justice movement, indigenous peoples, and people all over the United States of America. Because
why is it a big day? It's cold in lots of parts of America. It's raining. If you're in Dallas this morning, we had a rainstorm. I just think it's just another day. But let's hear why she thinks it's a big day.
Today is the day that we truly embark on a comprehensive agenda of economic, social, and racial justice in the United States of America. That's what this agenda is all about. Because climate change and our environmental challenges are one of the biggest existential threats to our way of life.
I beg to differ, ma'am. Have you heard of nuclear weapons? We have a nuclear war, then you'll have an existential threat. Not whether or not the temperature goes up a tenth of a degree or down a tenth of a degree. This is nonsense. She's just babbling on, repeating phrases. She's an activist. Lenin would call her a useful idiot.
Not just as a nation, but as a world. And in order for us to combat that threat, we must be as ambitious and innovative in our solution as possible. So what we are doing today and in introducing these resolutions here today is that it's not a bill. It is a resolution. And what this resolution is doing is saying this is our first step. Our first step is to define the problem and define the scope of the solution. And so
now I agree with that. You need to define the problem and find the scope of that problem and then explore what are possible solutions. Now let's hear what she thinks possible solutions are.
We're here to say that small incremental policy solutions are not enough. They can be part of a solution, but they are not the solution unto itself.
I think she's saying she wants to do away with institutions. Let's just give one. The free enterprise, competitive market capitalist system. Let's do away with that. We won't. That's why I can't take this person seriously. She wants to redesign the world because she knows what should be done. The condition of human beings is ignorance. We're all ignorant on many, many subjects, including her and including me. But it's rather presumptuous for her to tell America what to do. She has no monopoly, no experience. She shouldn't be listened to. But you have people that want the attention, get the attention, and they'll build her up and then they'll destroy her.
There is no justice and there is no combating climate change without addressing what has happened to indigenous communities. That means that there is no fixing our economy without addressing the racial wealth gap. That means that we are not going to transition to renewable energies without also transitioning frontline communities and coal communities into economic opportunity as well. That is what this is about. It is comprehensive, it is thoughtful, it is compassionate, and it is extremely economically strategic as well.
It's also dangerous and won't work.
Today is also the day that we choose to assert ourselves as a global leader in transitioning to 100% renewable energy and charting that path. That means that we are
renewable energy today. Wind, solar, no industrial economy in the world, including ours, is run on renewable energy. It's a small percentage. This lady is ridiculous. Oh, I bet she has a computer in her office, drives a car. Let's listen.
We're not going to peg ourselves by the lowest lowest standards of other nations. It doesn't mean that we're going to say, what about them? They're not doing it. What about them? They're not doing it. Why should we? We should do it because we should lead. We should do it because that is what this nation is about. We should do it because we are a country founded on ideals of a culture that is innovative, that cares for our brothers and sisters across this country. We should do it because we are an example to the world. That is why we should do it. And we need to save ourselves, and we can save the rest of the world with us. That is why we should do it. And that's why we define the scope of this resolution to be so broad and to be so comprehensive. Because we are outlining the Green New Deal, and in the spirit of Franklin Delano.
Excuse me, the Green New Deal? I haven't heard anything specific. Now, I understand that eventually she would like to do away with airline travel, so I don't want to put words in her mouth, but it's no sale. She's unconvincing. The American people are not going to see their standard of living fall because you have an activist that thinks her vision, her design, is better than what truly works.
Eleanor Roosevelt, we have the Green New Deal and we have Green New Deal projects.
Now, I want to point out she's using Roosevelt's New Deal as an example. Roosevelt's New Deal and policies prolonged the Great Depression. I would not model anything after the New Deal. It was a failure, folks. Oh, it put some people to work, no doubt about that. But it prolonged the Great Depression really didn't get over until the end of World War II, because most of the people that weren't employed found themselves in the military fighting a war.
The Tennessee Valley Authority was a New Deal project that was part of a larger vision. And today we're laying down what that larger vision is. So when people say, what about this or what about that? The answer isn't, this is why it's not in here. The answer is, that is part of the solution too. And so I hope you all see that. I hope you all see the scope and the scale, because the solution is not going to come from just one congresswoman from the Bronx.
I hope not.
It's going to come just from one senator. It's going to come from all of our representatives as a country saying, this is what Iowa needs. This is what Virginia needs. This is what Michigan needs. This is what Illinois needs. And this is what New York needs. Because when we have this threat that challenges all of us, the solution is going to take all of us too. So I'm so thankful. I'm thankful again. I want to reiterate my thanks to the activists and advocacy and the organizers who made this moment happen and created the political energy to be relevant and to put it at the top of the agenda, not the bottom of the agenda. So thank you all very, very
Excellent.
Much.
Thank you, Alexandria. Now, I'd like very briefly to introduce our two great senators from Oregon who are here today. I want to begin with an incredible climate champion, Jeff Merkley.
Thank you. Wow, I am so excited to be here with these two leaders from our two houses of Congress, working to build a whole coalition inside the House and inside the Senate to take this vision of a Green New Deal forward. This vision is born of two profound challenges that we face as a society. One of those is climate chaos.
Excuse me, climate chaos? Are you serious, sir? Now, the weather is always changing. Don't confuse weather with climate. Climate is over decades. So immediately he is showing he's trying to confuse you. We've always had winters in the winter and summer in the summer. Some are worse than others. Some are not.
We see it in the forest fires of the Northwest. We see it of the more powerful hurricanes assaulting the Southeast. And we see it in dozens and dozens of other issues in between. We know the damage that's being done. We know the damage being done to agriculture, to our farmers in America. We know the damage being done to our forests and our forest timber communities. We know the damage being done to our fisheries. This is not an urban problem. This is not a rural problem. This is a problem hurting everybody. And that means it's not a red or blue issue. It's not a Republican or Democratic issue. It is all of us coming together in our responsibility as elected leaders to forge a vision to take on this issue, which is doing so much damage to our country and to our planet. And through our leadership, our example, our efforts, work in partnership with the world. The second massive issue of income inequality. For every decade since I came out of high school, the working wages have been flat or declining, while the wealth of America in...
Let's talk about that. I'm glad he brought this up. Yeah, the household income for several years has been going down. Now, why? Could it be that we've had an influx of 30 to 60 million illegal aliens that compete directly with the American worker, and the government, the federal government that's responsible for controlling our borders has failed? Duh.
Increased. So many communities bypass with different economic initiatives. Frontline communities sometimes...
Now, I've patiently waited for them to define what's a frontline community. Is that where the Democratic Party dominates and the Greens are in charge? Is that a frontline community? I think that's what they mean, but I don't know. You know, maybe it's something else.
Ignored, sometimes deliberately ignored, often not benefiting in tangible ways. We have to make sure that this is a movement that touches our frontline communities and our coal communities and our oil communities as we all work together for this prosperous future.
Now, see, they have a problem. Coal in many parts of the United States is used to power electrical plants. However, with the discovery of more and more natural gas, through fracking, by the way, that they don't like, many electrical plants now, especially new ones, are powered by what? Oh, natural gas, not coal. But they don't like natural gas either. They certainly don't like nuclear. The answer is wind and solar power. I can't take these people seriously. Hopefully you won't. This is babble. It's babble. BS. They're using their phrases. Frontline community. They're activists. Keep it up. There's some new ones here, though.
So let's take these two issues together, create tens of millions of jobs, a huge, huge increase in economic and social equality. Thank
Beautiful.
You.
Thank you, Jeff. And we're also joined by the top Democrat on the Senate Finance Committee, the great Ron Wyden. Come on in, Ron.
Thank you, Ed. And the three speakers have said it very well. And what is especially exciting about this morning is the opportunity for reform on several fronts. And I am here today to say, as the senior Democrat on the committee that writes tax policy in the Senate Finance Committee, it's my intention to work with all of these good people to throw the dirty energy tax relics of yesteryear into the garbage can and work to put clean energy front and center for a healthier future for Americans from sea to shining sea.
Beautiful.
I thank all
thank
our lead sponsors.
Thank you, Ron.
What is he going to do? Make it prohibitively expensive for people to use coal, natural gas, nuclear energy? These are broad generalities, visions. But eventually, you got to get specific. And yes, you're going to have opposition. They should be opposed. What if it doesn't work? What if you can't deliver the goods? Though they won't be around then.
Yeah. Are there any questions? Yes. Good. Come on in.
Do you think that you have the support of the Democratic establishment, or the Democratic Party? Because Nancy Pelosi seems to be sort of dismissive about this issue.
Yeah. No. I'm very excited about the support. We'll see. You know, you'll see when we introduce this legislation, we have a very large amount of co-sponsors in the Democratic caucus. We're at over 60 now, 60 original co-sponsors in legislation, which is an enormous amount. And we even have more that weren't able to be original co-sponsors. So there are more that are co-sponsoring the legislation even after our initial rollout. I'm very excited. I see, and this includes broad support across the party. I'm very excited about it. And I'm really excited for our party's overall commitment to addressing this issue.
Are you offended Great. That Speaker Pelosi called this the green
No, I think it is a green dream. And I think that it is. It is. And I think that all great American programs, everything from the Great Society to the New Deal, started with a vision for our future.
I'm amazed she cites two programs that were failures. Failures. You see, you need a public relations label for this. And they're saying it's the Green Deal. No, it's not. It's the Red Deal. It's the same old deal that they've been peddling for not only decades, hundreds of years. To get support of enough people, you promise them something. Whether you deliver that is not important. You make promises. They don't know what they're doing. And they have to persuade the American people to follow them. And if this is the best they have, they won't be. The American people are not going to see a direct threat to their standard of living because you have some people that don't want coal to power electrical plants, don't want natural gas to power electrical plants, don't want nuclear power to power electrical plants. What the American people want is reliable electrical power. And yes, at the cheapest rate possible. Not pie in the sky, rely on wind and solar power. Let's see if they have any more good questions.
And I don't think that, I don't consider that to be a dismissive term. I think it's a great term.
And there is no greater champion on climate change than Nancy Pelosi.
That's right.
I was the
That's
chair right. of the Select Committee on Energy Independence and Global Warming. There's no greater champion.
House.
And at Just at noontime today, she said she welcomes the enthusiasm of the backers of the Green New Deal. And that's what we have here. All issues go through three phases: political education, political activation, political implementation. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing the beginning of the education and activation phase, and ultimately we're going to have the legislative implementation phase mm-hmm. of this program as well.
Can you explain where the Green New Deal stands on nuclear power? There's been some confusion after an initial fact sheet went out that said there was no room for nuclear. Is that where you stand on this?
The resolution is silent on any individual technology.
Deliberately. Because they know once they start being specific, saying we're banning nuclear, banning oil, we're banning coal, then they have to answer, okay, how are you going to produce the electricity?
Which can move us towards a solution of this problem. This is a resolution that does not have individual prescriptions in it. Mm-hmm. So it is silent, the resolution itself.
So there was a fact sheet that said no nuclear coming from...
That is not part of the resolution.
Mm-hmm. Are there any Republicans you're talking to that have signaled any willingness to come aboard? And can you name any names?
I won't name names, not trying to get anyone in trouble here early. But I do think that it, you know, when I do kind of speak to members of the Republican caucus, there are a few issues where they truly believe and express interest in coming together. And in addition to criminal justice reform and infrastructure, which this is in many ways an infrastructure bill as well, is the environment. And we are really starting to see that environmental and climate issues are issues that swing voters decide who they're going to cast their vote on. So I'm thrilled to say that there is interest.
Congresswoman,
do you guys expect
this to be offset by higher taxes?
So do you want me?
You go. Yeah, please.
So I think, and I spoke about this morning, is that I think that part of this is also really examining the role of government and what government is for. And I don't think that, I think it's important that we get away, and we also study our economic history, that government expenditure is not always just 100% offset by a tangible increase in that tax that same year. And so I think that we certainly see the Republican embrace of that with the tax cut bill, which does not generate economic growth.
She just said what was the tax cut does generate economic growth. She's either ignorant or lying, and I think in this case, I don't know. Tax cuts dramatically improve economic growth. Problem is, the Republican tax cut did not go far enough, and they needed fundamentally reform it, replace all federal taxes with one tax. They're not listening to their own base, and really this is just a formula to get votes by promising you some free stuff. But what they're going to have to do, if they're serious, is they're going to have to raise taxes. So your electrical bill goes up. I don't think the American people want that. You see, ideas have consequences. Visions have consequences. And you can't continuously talk about generalities. You have to have specific policies. This is just, Markey said it best, the congressman from Massachusetts, this is the educational phase. No, it's the propaganda phase. The overwhelming majority of American people first aren't paying attention to this. And when they start to truly focus in on it, I think you're going to see thumbs down, because they don't want to endanger the successes of the United States. For example, in energy independence, it was really these Democrats, the Greens, that don't want fracking, don't want exploration, don't want to expand the supply of both natural gas and oil. Now, they call themselves progressives, but they're truly against progress. They made up their minds. They think they know the answer. This is the what Thomas Sowell calls the unconstrained vision. The problem with people that have the unconstrained vision, they don't have the practical experience. If they did, most of what they would be proposing, they never would propose.
But I'm looking forward to really communicating that this is an investment. You know, for every $1 that we spend on infrastructure, we get a return on that investment. For every $1 that we spend on tax cuts, we get less than a dollar back. And so this is about...
That, there's a big depends there. We haven't had wasteful spending. Excuse me. You see, what's very annoying about this is government spending, and I blame the Democrats and the Republicans, is totally out of control. It doesn't matter whether you vote Democrat or Republican. That's the frustration for people that believe that the government should stay out of it. They make a mess of it. These are a bunch of amateurs that, frankly, have never run a business, never met a payroll. They're talkers, and they interfere. They won't mind their own business. I don't think they're going anywhere. I think this is, how should I say, half-baked. And once we see the details, that's when this lady, including many of the people surrounding her, are going to be going down.
About making smart investments, and this is about making investments that actually generate returns and not lying about the fact that they generate returns.
You don't lie about returns. If you don't have the returns, if you're in business, eventually what happens, you go out of business. You go bankrupt. You want the truth, lady? Look at the liabilities of the United States government. It's over $220 trillion. That's more than 10 times the entire gross domestic product of the United States this year. And that's where this leads, to bankruptcy and default on half-brained ideas not really thought out. And Markey made the point, oh, we don't have any specifics. We haven't ruled out anything. Well, eventually you're going to have to rule out. You're going to have to make difficult decisions. And I don't want the government to do it because, quite frankly, I don't think they're competent to do it. That's why it's free enterprise, competitive market system. Not a bunch of social engineers thinking they know best and can plan the economy. That's why socialism has failed in every country where it's been tried. Because they can't solve what economists call the calculation problem. They simply don't have enough information to do it. And the reason is simple. Every second of the day, things are changing. Prices are changing. Preferences are changing. The market produces the good results. Socialism invariably fails because they don't have the ability to replicate the market. In other words, knowledge, information, is distributed amongst the population, not confined to a small group of congressmen or bureaucrats. This doesn't work. The Green New Deal. Well, the New Deals in the past didn't work, and the green one won't work. This is dead on arrival. But the big lie media will cover this. It's on the news. I know it because I was in the newsroom. And yes, it was one of the lead stories.
They actually generate returns.
And one thing we're going to fight for is to make sure that all the renewables, all electric vehicles, that they're getting the same tax breaks that the fossil fuel industry has received for the last 100 years.
I'm against all subsidies. We have some agreement here. I don't want subsidies. But that's what the government does. What he's saying, well, we want to make sure we get our subsidies. Well, I beg to differ, sir. I don't want the government to mess around and pick winners and losers because they do a lousy job of it.
It's a fight worth having, and they might consider that to be a tax increase, but that is something that we are going to try to remove from the tax rolls of our country. Question? Yeah, yes, right here.
So, I mean, about a decade ago, you were leading a sweeping movement for cap and trade
measures. Yes.
Died in the Senate. You cost some members their districts. Congresswoman, do you have any assurance from Speaker Pelosi that this resolution will come to the floor?
Okay. The difference between 2009 and 10 and today is the movement that has now been built, okay?
Yeah, and funded by the very wealthy that favors certain type of investments. And that's why they're out. They need those campaign contributions. No one's hands are clean here. Democrat and Republicans, most of them, including Markey, are bought and paid politicians. The only difference is who bought and paid for them. I wish they would focus on the common good instead of not minding their own business, interfering in the private sector. That's what they're doing and will do or try to do.
We did not have that movement in 2009 and 10. This is now a voting issue across the country. The green generation has risen up, and they are saying that they want this issue solved, and they want the people who work in this building and occupy the White House to solve this problem. So,
yeah, when they get high, much higher electrical bills, they'll vote you out of office, sir. Eventually, that's what it comes to. We go home every night and expect to have electricity, either heating our homes or cooling our homes. We rely on it to power our refrigerators, our ovens, our dishwashers, our clothes washers, dryers, and the lighting. Ideally, we would like lower and lower and lower energy costs, not higher and higher and higher energy costs. That results when you have politicians like this, whether it's in the United States or in Germany or other countries. And eventually, the American people and other peoples wake up to what's happening. Oh, they make great promises. But when the people see the consequences, to the extent that they are successful, and I don't think they will be successful, most Americans are laughing at them because most Americans understand the difference between weather and climate. I think I'm going to close out. No, I'm going to play a song because it's an important song, because I always, when I deal with people that are worried about climate change, I always say, go outside and look at that. Look at that shiny object in the sky, the sun. And the Beatles had a song. And I know many of you, especially in Chicago, up north, even in Dallas, have been getting rather cold weather. Well, it is February, and February is part of winter. And the temperatures tend to go down. If you wait a while, though, they go back up. I'm not panicking. I know in August in Texas, it'll be in the 90s, if not the hundreds. But either way, what's happening, folks? The sun is out. I thought I had that video, and I do apologize. What I was going to play is Here Comes the Sun. Eventually, the facts, the truth, will win out. They're way ahead of themselves. And I think they're getting way ahead of the American people. The American people are tired of bureaucrats, politicians, trying to impact their lives. They want to be left alone. They don't want to see their electrical bills go up, gasoline prices go up. What's the gasoline price in California? I hear it's the highest in the nation. That's what happens when you get a single party. And what's happening in California? The smart people are leaving, folks. The same thing with New York and the high tax states. What states are in financial trouble? Illinois, New York, California. Social engineering interfering in the private sector has led to below normal economic growth. They sound good. I didn't think this was very persuasive, though. It's rather sad. It's rather pathetic. I'll have more to say in the future. I simply can't take these people seriously. And I think the majority of the American people won't take them seriously either. Because people have to work for a living, have to put food on their table, a roof over their head. They need a car to get to work or school. All of that requires energy. And they're tired of the government meddling in it and simply not delivering. What they truly want is inexpensive energy. Not expensive energy because you think climate is an existential threat. It's going to kill you. Most people adapt to climate change. What they do is they either add a sweater or a coat if it's cold. If it's the summer, they wear short sleeve shirts or shorts or maybe no shirt. It's called adapting to the situation, not trying to change the world and change how people get their electrical power as well as power they need for their cars and, yes, planes. You see, when you make it so expensive that people can't afford a tank of gas to get to work, then the people are not going to be in a good mood. Maybe you should look at what's happening in France. The people will revolt. The activist will fall. This is not new. It's old. And it's repeatedly failed. If you want to change the world,
I'll tell you what. Open a business. Sell a good or service that Americans want. And if you do, you'll be wildly successful. That's how you change the world. Not by telling other people what they must do. And ultimately, that's what they're doing. It's coercion, folks. It's the government trying to coerce behavior out of you by increasing your taxes, whether it's a gasoline tax or your income tax. And that's what these people are about. And if you don't watch it, you can elect people that will ruin this economy and standard of living. Fortunately, there are many more people that won't let them do it. Thank God. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom, first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com. and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.